I want to start with a number that, honestly, I had to triple-check because it just sounds impossible. We spend trillions, with a T, on anti-money laundering compliance globally.
Trillions. Armies of analysts, huge server farms, all of it.
And for all that effort, according to the sources we're diving into, we catch less than 1% of illicit funds. 1%.
Well, it is an absolutely staggering rate of failure, isn't it? I mean, if any other industry had a 99% failure rate, they'd be shut down by lunchtime.
So what's going on? Is the software just terrible?
It's not really the code quality. The sources say it's a systemic failure of binary logic.
Binary logic, like a light switch, on or off.
Exactly. Our whole financial system works that way. A transaction is either allowed, that's a plus one, or it's denied, a minus one. That's it.
That sounds pretty reasonable. You either want the money to move or you don't.
It would be, in a perfect world with perfect data. But in the real world, things are ambiguous. What do you do when a transaction looks, a little bit suspicious, but you can't prove it? The binary system forces an immediate choice. And because no one wants to slow down commerce or block a legitimate customer, they almost always default to allow.
So you're basically creating a giant loophole.
A massive one.
Yeah.
The sources call it the gray zone. And money launderers live in that zone. They know exactly how to structure things to look just ambiguous enough for the system to say yes.
Okay, so this brings us to the core of today's deep dive. The proposal here isn't to just improve the old system, but to change the logic entirely. To ternary logic.
Spot on. Ternary means three. So you have proceed plus one, refuse minus one, and now this new thing, state zero.
State zero.
Yeah. The sources call it the sacred zero, or my favorite, the epistemic hold.
Epistemic, that's about knowledge, right?
Welcome. Precisely. It's the system literally admitting ignorance. If the risk score is murky, say a 0.65, it triggers what they call a technological injunction. It just says, I don't know enough to proceed, and I don't know enough to deny, so I have to pause.
A pause. I can imagine in the world of high-speed finance, pause is a very, very dirty word.
Oh, it is. But Here's the radical part. The system's rule is, no log equals no action.
What does it mean?
Well, right now, banks let the money go through, and then days or even weeks later, they might file a suspicious activity report, a SAR.
Right. It's closing the barn door after the horse has already been laundered.
That's a perfect way to put it. Ternary logic completely flips that. It mandates that a decision log has to be created and digitally signed before the money can move.
So if the system is in state zero, the money is just stuck.
It's stuck. It physically cannot execute until a human or a machine resolves that ambiguity.
Wow. I can just hear the bankers screaming from here. Wouldn't that grind the global economy to a halt? Mm. The sources talk about this liquidity versus integrity trade-off.
That's the billion-dollar question. But the argument is that banks are currently facing unbounded future risk. They move fast now, but 5 years from now, they get hit with a catastrophic fine.
I see. So you trade a massive unknown risk later for a small known cost now.
Exactly. You're swapping that future disaster for a bounded immediate cost.
Yeah.
A little bit of latency that you can actually price into the transaction.
So how do they solve the speed problem technically?
They use something called a dual lane model. So there's a fast lane for the actual decision making and a slow lane for something called Merkle root anchoring.
Okay. Merkle root is where you lose me. Can you simplify that?
Yeah, for sure. Think of it like a digital fingerprint that you press into wet cement. Once the system makes a decision, even a decision to just pause, that choice is cryptographically locked into a public record.
So you can't go back and change the story later.
You can't fudge the records. It creates an unchangeable history of why a decision was made.
It all sounds so logical and cold. But there's a very human story behind this, isn't there? Who was Lev Gukasian?
This was maybe the most surprising part of the research for me. He was a mathematician. And during a moment of what's called terminal lucidity, right at the end of his life, he articulated the ethical code for this whole system.
The Gukasian vow.
Yes. And it became the moral engine for the software. Pause when truth is uncertain. Refuse when harm is clear. Proceed where truth is.
Pause when truth is uncertain. It's so profound because it's the exact opposite of how we operate today. Move fast and break things.
And that's really the big takeaway. The shift here is from just probabilistic guessing, hoping you aren't helping criminals, to deterministic action, from just reporting negligence to actually enforcing integrity.
It really makes you think about what we value more, speed or safety.
It does. And that leaves us with a question for you, the listener. We all love our instant payments, our seamless transactions. But if a slight pause, a brief state zero moment, guaranteed that your money wasn't funding a war or a trafficking ring, would you accept that wait? Or is the convenience of modern finance really worth that 99% failure rate?